I heard that a husband and wife were having a discussion about who was supposed to make the coffee in the morning. And so the woman said, it's the man's job. And he said, where do you get that? And she said, it's in the Bible. And he said, where? He said, Hebrews. So I guess it's our job. Amen. Praise God. But it's not nearly as hard to brew as it used to be. Amen. And so thank the Lord. All right. Going to the fourth chapter of Hebrews, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I want to preach tonight on this subject, the only priest that you will ever need. Amen. The only priest that you will ever need. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The role of a priest is to build a bridge from man to God. The role of the priest is to represent man to God. The role of a prophet is to represent God to man. So the priest, then, the word means bridge builder. Amen. Bridge builder. The role of a priest was threefold. First of all, he represented God to man and man to God. So he was responsible for doing the service of the Lord. It was and is a special calling of God, as we will see. It was not something that a person simply took upon themselves, but they were set aside to that service, and God set them aside for that purpose. The second thing that a priest does is he reconciles. Reconcile is to bring two opposing parties together and make peace. Amen. The Bible said that there's enmity between God and man because of sin. And the role of a priest is to get man and God together in peace. And there's only one priest that can do that. Hallelujah. We're going to talk more about him in just a minute. Can't hardly wait. I'm trying to get a little foundation here before I get started. But the third thing that a priest did was he was to mediate. He was to offer what was required to get the two opposing parties together. That's what a mediator does. He finds out what it's going to take to bring peace. And then he pays the price. He makes sure that the sacrifice or that the offering is in place, that the two opposing parties can get together. Amen. Now, when man sinned, it created a great gulf between God and man. And it was such a great gulf that it couldn't be spanned by any man. And so God, through the years, allowed priests to rise up. But they were a symbol of one that was coming. They were a type and a shadow of one that was going to come and fulfill the roles that they could not fulfill themselves. The Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. I love that verse. God was in Christ, and he was reconciling the world unto himself. God is in you and God is in me today, but not in the same sense that he was in Jesus Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. Amen. I can lead people to the Lord, and you have the opportunity, the privilege, and the responsibility to lead people to God. But I'm telling you today, it's that we don't lead them to ourselves, we lead them to him. Hallelujah. But the key to the identity of Jesus Christ here is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to whom? To himself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that there is one mediator between God and man. Everybody say one mediator. One mediator. There's not many. There's one mediator. One mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Pardon me today, but it's not Confucius, and it's not Buddha. Amen. And it's not Krishna, and it's not even Muhammad. Amen. There's just one mediator, and his name in the scripture, and he's the man. Everybody say the man. The man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The importance is to understand that God was manifest in flesh. And it was that flesh body that makes him the mediator of the new covenant today. Hallelujah. Praise God. God has always been, because he is eternal. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. God is immutable. God is all of these things. But you see, the reunion didn't occur, and the coming together was not able to be until there was a mediator. And there had to be a man. Job said it way back in the first book ever written in the Bible. He said, oh, that there was a daysman that could stand before God and plead my cause. Amen. We have seen that through the ages, that, oh, if there was just somebody that could plead my cause before God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's a mediator, somebody that knows the price. Somebody that can pay the price. Hallelujah. Amen. The qualifications of a priest are listed here in the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The Bible said, for every high priest taken among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. So first of all, he has to be a man. Amen. There's no one else that can really understand us. It has to be somebody like you and me. Somebody that goes through the same kinds of things. The reason, verse number 2 said, a man who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. So, in other words, somebody that can understand. Now, the Bible's not calling you ignorant. Amen. And that's not the point. But the word, there are some things we don't know. And how do we know? The Bible said, how can they hear without a preacher? Amen. How can he preach except he be sent? Amen. How are you going to believe on God if you haven't heard about God? So there needs to be an intermediary. Somebody that's like you. Amen. I've used an illustration before. One day I was in the church in Midland, and in the foyer, a very large foyer, had windows on each side. Huge, huge windows. And very, very tall. It was about 40 feet to the peak of that thing. And there was a bird in there in the church. And so I was trying to get him out. So I would get him out in the foyer, and then you know, he'd start flying my direction, and I'd swing the door open, and he'd turn and go the other way. And I talked to him, and I did everything I knew how to do. And finally, the poor little bird just got going as fast as he could and flew right into the window and committed suicide. And I felt really bad. I just felt, you know, if I just could have communicated with you, if you would have understood me, if we could have talked together, I could have got you out of here safely. And you see, that's what the mediator does. That's what Jesus did for us. God could not talk to us like we could understand him. The Jews' understanding of God was that God was holy in the sense that God is different. And so God really cannot identify with us according to their doctrine and their understanding. That was the way they saw God. He was so holy that he could not really identify with you and me. And the Greeks of the time, in the time of Christ, there were two schools of Greeks. One were the Stoics. And the Stoics believed that the highest thing that you could get to and when you became a god was that you just didn't feel anything. That's sad. You didn't feel anything. You didn't feel good. You didn't feel bad. You just didn't feel. And then, on the other hand, there were the Epicureans. They were the ones whose doctrine was eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But their understanding of the gods was that they were so busy enjoying things and having pleasure that they didn't even know that people existed. So, somewhere in between all of those schools of thought, amen, the Bible said there was somebody that could identify with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I read it to you today. The Bible said that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Now, you know what temptation is, and I know what temptation is, but Jesus was tempted like no person has ever been tempted, because you and I go through a process, and there's a place that you just give in. He never did that. He never gave in one time. Not even one time. Not even one sin. So that pressure that causes us to cave, he was able to overcome that and to go beyond that and to go far beyond that. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that he can give us grace to help in the time of need. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he was tempted like you. He understands what it's like to be a person. Oh, I hear people say sometimes people just don't understand. There's one that does. There's one that does. Don't ever say he doesn't understand. There's one that does. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, no matter how difficult your situation, there's somebody that knows exactly what you're going through and how to get you out of that situation. The Bible said that with every temptation, everybody say, every temptation, he has made a way of escape. Amen. He made a way. You may not understand, but you know, sometimes we like to have pity parties. Uh-oh. Amen. The thing about pity parties is God never goes to one. And the devil never misses one. He'll always show up when you start having a pity. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Is that too old-fashioned of a term that folks don't understand what that is? Amen. When you get so down in the dumps and so discouraged and you're just patting yourself on the back, the devil will nearly break your arm off patting you on the back. Oh, but the Lord never shows up at a pity party. Amen. Amen. He works by faith. Hallelujah. But when you call on His name, the Bible said, but He will draw near. If we draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto us. Hallelujah. And when He comes, His power and His strength and His mercy and His grace and His joy and His peace all come with Him. Amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I've never come out of a pity party a winner. Every time I come out worse than when it started. But I've come out of some prayer meetings a winner. Hallelujah. I've come out of some prayer meetings in victory. Hallelujah. I've come out in power. I've come out charged with strength and fresh faith, and knowing that if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Hey, it works tonight, folks. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I have a high priest that the Bible said is touched with the feelings of my infirmities. Amen. So we had to be a man in order to identify, and he did identify with us. And then he had to offer sacrifices. Amen. Jesus offered one sacrifice. Priest through the 1,500 years, 2,000 years, offered many sacrifices. If you would have looked at it and they had all been stacked up, it would have made a mountain of carcasses. If all of the blood was flowing at one time, it would have made a river of blood. But not any of those sacrifices, nor one drop of that blood, could do anything about sin besides just roll ahead one more year, saying there is a sacrifice that is coming. There is a lamb that is coming. There is a sacrifice that is going to be sufficient. But it's not yet. Not yet. Until that day beside the Jordan River, when John lifted up his voice and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And every eye was on Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, folks, the blood of bulls and goats could not wash away our sins. The blood of lambs could not wash away our sin. But the Lamb of God that was spotless, that had no sin, that took upon Himself sin and became sin for us. Amen. The Bible said that His blood washes away every stain. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. That day on that place called Golgotha, the river of blood that flowed down one side went all the way back through history, and it touched the sins of David and the sins of Moses, all the way back to Abraham, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. And every sin was cleansed. And I'm telling you, it's still flowing today on the other side of Calvary. In 2008, it's still cleansing sins of people today. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. There's nothing like the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only sacrifice that can wash away sins. Amen. A priest had to be called or appointed by God. You just couldn't do it by yourself. Amen. You talk about being called. He was called before His birth. His name shall be called. Shall be called. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Amen. All of His things were foretold. His birth was foretold. The circumstances were foretold. Shalt call His name Emmanuel. God with us. Amen. Oh, and the city was foretold. The circumstances were foretold. Amen. He was called before he was ever born. Hallelujah. And when he was born, for born to you in the city of David this day is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. From his birth he was called. At his baptism he was called. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hallelujah. Praise. You talk about being called. Friend, he was called. Hallelujah. Amen. He was set aside. There was none. None like Jesus. Hallelujah. In the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews, there's some wonderful things that are said about our high priest. Verse 23, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. You know what happened by the time of Jesus Christ? The office of high priest was a political office and nothing more. They were corrupt. They were vile. Isn't that sad? Isn't that what happens in our old world today? Amen. I'm telling you, corruption can even creep into ministry. I'm sorry to say that. I wish that were not true, but we all know it to be so. He said, but all of these priests, they came and they went by reason of death, and another one would take his place. But this man, talking about Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, a perpetual priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. He never changes. He never dies. He's always the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change, folks. He ever lives to make intercession. He always represents us. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's the only priest that you're ever going to need. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Amen. He was both the priest and the sacrifice. Hallelujah. He offered up himself. And that one sacrifice. Even the Bible says that there remaineth no more sacrifice. No more sacrifice. There's only one that'll do it now. You can go and offer goats and bulls and turtle doves and lambs, but it's not going to get you anywhere. Amen. There's just one sacrifice that's efficacious. There's only one sacrifice that'll wash away sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no other sacrifice. You know, that's what the book of Hebrews was all about. Some of the Hebrews, after they had been converted to Jesus Christ, went back to Hebrew, to their Judaism. They went back to the temple. They went back to sacrifices. And the writer's just simply telling them, hey, there's nothing there. Hallelujah. All of those things were just to bring us to Jesus Christ. And from this point on, it's Jesus and it's Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So the scripture says that he was tempted and always like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Praise God. He's able to cleanse today like no other can do. Amen. The Bible teaches us that Jesus prayed for us. Where did that happen? When did that happen? In a place called Gethsemane. You know, it's interesting, of all of the things that happened in the life of Jesus, his birth was foretold prophetically. His ministry was foretold prophetically. His death was foretold prophetically. His resurrection was foretold prophetically. But Gethsemane was never foretold. There are no prophecies about Gethsemane. I don't know how prepared he was for Gethsemane. It's as if it almost came upon him, almost like a surprise. When he went to that garden, and some of you know what it's like to pray under a burden. Some of you know what it's like to intercede. Some of you know what it's like to pray under such a heaviness. You don't know if you can bear it. You don't even know. It's almost as if you don't know if you're going to survive. Amen. And when he went to Gethsemane, that's what happened. It came upon him so heavily. Amen. He turned around to his disciples and he said, "Would you please pray with me? Would you pray with me? Could you just not pray just 1 hour? Come on, pray with me. Help me." He said, "For my soul is exceeding heavy, even unto death." I'm telling you, friend, when he got to praying in Gethsemane, it was not a "now I lay me down to sleep" prayer. Amen. The Bible said he prayed until his sweat came as great drops of blood. Scientists say that whenever the body usually passes to a place and you fall into a coma when you can't handle anymore. But if you don't go into a coma, then the blood literally begins to break down and seep out the pores of the skin. And he got to that place in such heaviness and such agony that his blood literally was coming out of his pores and mixing with his sweat and falling to the ground. Heaviness of soul. The Bible said God, he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us. He had never had sin in his life took sin upon himself, and the grossness and the horribleness of it and all of the heaviness of it pressed him beyond anything he'd ever been pressed into before, until he cried out and he said, "Father, if you can, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Amen. I'm telling you, folks, he took sin upon himself. He became our sin bearer. Hallelujah. Just like in the Old Testament, they would take a scapegoat and they would bring him in, and the priest would lay all of the sins of the congregation upon that lamb and upon that goat, and they would confess sins and put sins upon him, and they would take one goat and slay it and take the blood into the temple. The other, they would lead him out into the desert place and set him free. Amen. Jesus, the Bible said, became sin for us. That's what Gethsemane was all about. That's why the Bible said that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Amen. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It's hard to understand. The Bible said it pleased God to bruise him. Why is that? Because he knew what good was going to come from it. He knew the price that had to be paid if there was ever going to be deliverance from sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible says we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling. Everybody say the feeling. The feeling of our infirmities. The feeling of our infirmities. What does sin feel like? First of all, sin brings a sense of shame. It feels defiled. It feels vile. It feels unfit. It feels unwanted. It feels unclean. Sin always brings a sense of shame. Sin brings a sense of guilt. Guilt is on the part that we have failed God, that we have failed our family, that we have failed friends, that we have failed brothers and sisters, that we have failed even ourselves. And so we feel a tremendous sense of guilt. That's the feeling of infirmity. Then there comes a feeling of despair, feeling of hopelessness, a feeling of helplessness, a feeling of total defeat. Amen. That's what sin brings into a life. The Bible says that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what that feels like. He knows what shame feels like. He knows what guilt feels like. He knows what despair feels like because he took sin upon himself. That's why he's the only priest you'll ever need. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But I'm not going to leave it there. Hallelujah. Amen. He not only knows what despair is like, he knows what victory is like. He knows what overcoming is like. He knows what the power is like whenever you get on the other side of it. Praise God. The scripture said this so very, very beautifully. It said that we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Everybody say, the finisher of our faith. He didn't leave you incomplete. He didn't leave you unfinished. He didn't leave you in the valley of decision. He didn't leave you in the grip of despair. But I'm telling you, friend, he finished this thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Everybody said, endured the cross. He didn't enjoy the cross. He endured the cross. There are going to be some crosses in your life, and you're not going to enjoy the cross, but you can endure the cross. Hallelujah. The same way the Bible said, he despising the shame. Amen. He didn't like what he had to go through to get there. But the Bible said, what kept him through all of that? There was some joy that was set before him. I'm telling you today, the Christian has some joy that is set before him. Amen. This too shall come to pass. Amen. I may be in the valley today. I may be suffering today. I may be in trouble today. Amen. But there's a dawn that's coming. There's a victory just over the horizon. If I'll hold on just a little bit longer, God's going to see to it that deliverance is going to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The joy of the Christian is we have somewhere to go. Paul said it so wonderfully. He said, if I had hope in this world only, I would be of all men most miserable. Amen. If this was all there was, I feel sorry for people that think that this is all there is. That's so tragic to me. Amen. To think that this is it, just these few years of life that you have here. No wonder people are doing everything they can do just to try to live another day. They'll go through anything. They'll give up anything. They'll pay anything just for one more day of life because they don't think there's anything on the other side. Amen. But I'm telling you, friend, there's some joy in the heart of one that knows that there's a way that has been made and there's a better place than this. Hallelujah. This old place gets pretty good sometimes. I've eaten some mighty fine meals. Enjoy it. Amen. I hear people say that they just eat to live. Well, indeed, I enjoy it. I'm just going to tell you I do. I like it. I like good food. Amen. Praise God. And don't look at me like that. It's all right. Amen. God made it. It's okay to enjoy it. Amen. And I've seen some beautiful places. I've had some great times. This world's not all bad, folks. There's some good things happening here. It's good to be alive. But I'm just telling you, the joy, there's something better than this. Hallelujah. There's, no matter how good it is right now, there's a place that's better. Praise God. There's a place where there's no tempter. There's a place where there's no sin. There's a place where there's no sickness. There's a place where there's no death. There's a place where there's no tears. Hallelujah. Hey, who wouldn't want to live a life like this? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Praise God. You know what that place is? That's the place of victory. That's the place of power. That's a place of authority. That's a place of advocacy. That's the place where he can argue your case. That's the place where he can win your cause. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's the only priest that you'll ever need. He's the only priest that you'll ever need. Ah, what a God we're serving today. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. There's none like him. There's none like him. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. The Bible says, come boldly. The word means with great confidence. To the throne of grace, that you can obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. Amen. The fact that there's a throne indicates that there's a kingdom. And the fact that there's a kingdom indicates that there's a king. Hallelujah. Oh, the king. And I'm a subject of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And I know that there's a throne and it's called grace. Anybody ever been there? Have you ever been to that throne of grace? Praise God. I love the way this is worded in the scripture. The Bible says two things happen there. Number one is we can obtain mercy. You see, mercy is for somebody that has already fallen and needs to be restored. Mercy is for somebody that failed and needs to be forgiven. Amen. He said, but at the throne of grace, he said, mercy's there. Hallelujah. So you see, if you have failed, you don't have to quit. You don't give up. You don't throw in the towel. You go back to the throne of grace and you obtain mercy. And then he said, and that you can find grace to help in the time of need. Grace is simply God's divine enablement. Grace is when God's strength takes over your weakness and it boosts you to some place you cannot go by yourself. And it does the things that you cannot do. He does for you. That's what grace is. Amen. Praise God. He didn't leave us helpless in this battle, folks. He didn't leave us helpless in this fight. Amen. We've said it before, I say it again, that grace is like a tender thread that's woven through the strings of a strong chain. Amen. And you see, though you could break the thread easily, you cannot break the thread as long as it's interwoven in the chain. And that's what grace is. Grace is when you take your weakness and you thread it in God. Hallelujah. And you thread it with grace until the weakness or human frailty takes on God's strength and God's ability. And it cannot be broken. Amen. Thank God for grace today. Amen. He's the only priest that you'll ever need. Amen. Welcome to this great high priest, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to the great high priest, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anybody grateful for him tonight? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I think it would be good just to gather for a moment, lift up our hands around the front of this building and give Him thanks. Because He's worthy. Because He's worthy. Because He's worthy. He's the only high priest that you'll ever need. Amen. Let's praise Him tonight. Jesus, I just want you to know that I'm very thankful for what You've done for me. I thank You for mercy when I have fallen. I thank You, God, that You rescued me. And I'm glad that You didn't forsake, but You restored. That You lift up with a hand of compassion and mercy. Hallelujah. We could never get up to Your level, so You came down to ours. We did not have a fit representative to send to You, and so You sent one to us. Hallelujah. I'm so glad tonight in Your wisdom, in Your grace, and in Your mercy. You made a way for us. You didn't cast us aside. You didn't call. You didn't destroy us, but You saved us.
All of my confusion.
You came to help us, deliver us. Oh, You're a worthy God. You're a worthy God. You're a worthy God. I thank You, Jesus.
All I had to offer.
The Scripture said that You make intercession
was
every day, every moment of every day.
But He made
hallelujah. You make a way. You open a door. Praise God.
Of my
hallelujah.
Life.
You're good to us. Oh, what a wonderful
He
God we serve.
Made
what a mighty God we serve.
Something beautiful.
Something
good. All of my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. He made something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
God,
amen.
Worthy,
amen.
Lord. Thank You, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. I
hallelujah.
You, God. I give You the glory.
Praise
and honor,
God.
Lord. I thank You, Jesus.
He came down to our level because we couldn't get up to His. Amen. Oh, what a great God. Amen. What a mystery. What a marvel. Praise God. God would do this for us. Oh, the depth and the breadth and the height and the width of the love of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I love You, Lord. I love You, Lord.
Praise God. The Sunday school song said that it's so high that you can't get over it. It's so wide that you can't get around it. Amen. Praise God. It's so deep that you can't get under it. Amen. That you just... You got to come in the door. Hallelujah. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Thank Him for being my sacrifice, my substitute.
Praise. Amen.